Want to take the SoCal Sound with you anywhere? Download the SoCal Sound app to your mobile device. You could stream the SoCal Sound 24/7. See what song just played on our playlist, listen to an archived show, read an article from our newsfeed, stay up to date, or watch a SoCal Sound session. It's all there, and it's now CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. Download the SoCal Sound app today.
Hola, ¿qué tal? And welcome to another edition of our Bilingual Sound Session. And today I am super happy to welcome back the Altons, who are just fresh off of their brand new album released off of Daptone Records. Here is The Heartache in Room 14, just released. It's a fantastic album. They're going to be playing a couple songs from the album as well. But just in case this is your first time watching one of our sessions, hi, I'm Byron Gonzalez. I'm Byron, the curator. I am a DJ on the SoCal Sound, but also I am the program director of Bilingual Sounds HD3. We're a public radio station here in Southern California. You can stream us online at bilingualsounds.org. And as a public radio station, we really do count on our audience and members to continue supporting. So thank you for your support. And you can continue supporting us by giving us a subscribe down below. You can like this video. Or leave us a comment down below as well. Maybe you can comment your favorite emoji or comment one of your favorite songs from this session. And now I'm super happy to welcome back and to talk with Adriana and Brian from the Altons. What's up, guys?
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us again.
Yeah. Wow, it's been quite a while, but I keep seeing you around in real life. Catching you in the wild is really cool to just, and also just keeping up with you on social media and seeing your growth and seeing how many shows, countless shows that you perform. But I don't think I know you yet. I do have some clarifying questions.
All right, let's
I want to know, when you guys were growing up, what was like an album you could not stop listening to?
Ooh.
Damn. All right.
My very first album that I ever got was the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Californication. So I could not put that one down. And then Nevermind from Nirvana and The Unplugged were on my CD player constantly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nirvana Unplugged one was a big one for me. But when I was younger than that, I really liked Selena. So like anything that Selena...
Anything for her.
Anything for her and everything from her, I was about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know with your first album, it was a little bit more indie rock and now it's more soulful. What do you think is the gateway to the soul world that was for you guys and that decision?
Honestly, I feel like we've always been real big fans of soul, and like a lot of the first, like the In the Meantime was definitely inspired by soul. Like a lot of the songs were definitely soul inspired.
I feel like that was kind of a glue for us because we all did love it. And it's like kind of like getting that to translate through our lens, like the Altons lens is kind of what made it indie rock. And then we kind of slowly started like tweaking it. Mm. And now we're here.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like it's been a progression. Sorry to cut you off.
No. That's what I was going to say too. But it was like, I think the big factor too is just like the community, like the soul community and like the, just like the Chicano community and like people around town. It was like, we were doing the indie rock. We thought we were like indie rock band, but we never got the call to go do like the, we never got the call to go play with like all the other indie bands and we never got the audience. But when like the whole pandemic happened and everything, like we started doing the stuff with Gabe, and it was like the people that were really into vinyl, really into soul and a bunch of old stuff, like really identified within the meantime, and they were like, oh, this is soulful, this is like soul. Wow. We're like, yeah, that's what we felt like that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it's like soul in a different font. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like it's just like it's there, but it's like in a little bit in a different font. And like it was crazy seeing the different types of people there, because like slowly that started happening. Like the indie crowd started coming to shows and we would see the change. But it was with the OG fans too that were like very much into like Motown and Stax and the old music. And then that kind of like being open to the more like rock songs that we had. And it's cool to see the different amount of people in the shows.
And it's so cool to know that like people who actually like were into oldies could hear that.
Yes.
You know, because I mean, as much as I'm into oldies, I'm a little bit more into indie rock and rock. So I consider it more indie rock, but now looking back, now that you're saying that, I sense it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least I can visualize or hear it in my head, but I didn't see that before, which is crazy.
Cool. And I really like that people were able to tap into that. Like, we're like, oh, you get it. So it's like, it's cool that people are coming to the shows and like talking to us after, because we always stay after. And like, we meet a bunch of people that come to the shows, and like hearing their takes on the music is very inspiring and very cool, because you feel seen. Yeah. You feel like you get it, you know?
And that's cool. Now, what's one of those bands for you that did that for you in your career, or like early life, that made you want to pursue this as a career, as a aspiration, or as a thing that you're like, I'm gonna dedicate my life to that?
For me, was Nirvana.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was always Nirvana. Like, I always had. So like, I clearly remember like being, I was like in third or fourth grade, and I was listening to Nirvana, and I always had this like. Like, at the time, the only thing I had as a reference as to like performing was like at my school auditorium, like during like an assembly or something. They would have performances. Oh. So I always imagined myself like playing and singing in front of like the auditorium. I never did it.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't until I got way older where I started playing in front of people. But every time I listened to music, I always had that image of just like performing it live.
Interesting.
I did do it. So when I was in elementary school, I did a bunch of talent shows, and I was like singing like ballads, like Celine Dion and things like that. But like, I was into performing. I really liked it. And I kind of put it down and picked it back up like later in high school. But I'm like into like a lot of rock and like alternative rock, and obviously the soul music too. But like, a big band for me is Radiohead. And like, they're one of the ones that if... They're not weirdos or anything, but like, there's just like they have evolved. Like, each album could be like a whole nother band, and I think it's really cool to watch them grow. And I'm just like a huge fan, and I've seen them multiple times through different stages, and like, I think they're a big band for me. That's kind of like, it's possible. Like, you could do it. If people get it, they get it, and it's like, I feel like I get them, and who else doesn't, right? Like, they're huge. But I feel like if they're able to change and evolve in front of people that are diehard about a certain era of them, I feel like that's brave and it's cool.
Yeah, it's hard. It's kind of scary, I would think, because even I, when I hear somebody change, you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
When I heard you guys change, I was like, let's see this out. And now you have a full album of that type of music, and I'm here for it.
Cool. I'm glad. Yeah. And I'm sure that's going to happen. Like, some people are afraid of change, and that's okay. I get it.
Yeah.
But like, also, if you pay attention, it's not that much different. No. It's growing up.
Well, let's hear some of that. I think you recorded Your Light. Let's get into Your Light right now, and then we'll get back into talking some more about this album, which is fantastic. So let's get into it. We got the Altons right now. They're in there. They're going to play Your Light.
Nothing but an empty home. All right. Thank you guys for coming in here again, performing in our studios. That's chair is fun, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I just spawned back here. Yeah. That was my spawning move.
It's movie magic. Yeah. It's movie magic. But yeah, this new sound, this new album is fantastic. Can I ask you guys to hold this for a second and tell me what you feel just from holding it, from looking at it, from knowing everything you've been through to come to today?
We're cute.
Yes, first off. Absolutely. Cutie patooties.
Cutie patooties right here. No, it feels good, man. It took a long time to get this out. I'm really glad people get to hold it now, and it's like physical media, you know? I'm really proud of this body of work. So I'm just excited.
The Daptone sign is really cool, too.
That's a huge part mark. As well. Yeah. Yes. I was a massive fan of everything Daptone, even before we worked with them. So the fact that we were able to kind of go in there, it was like I kept pinching myself. And the fact that I worked with the producer and writer for Sharon Jones and like Charles Brett, like I was like freaking out. And it took me a long time to not freak out going in, but it's like I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, you definitely guys look badass in this one. And yeah, I think it's a long evolution as well. What would you say from these songs, from these 10 songs, which one had the most like tweaking, the most like, oh, we just couldn't get it down and then finally came together?
I would say Where Did You Go? Definitely went through some tweaking.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, that one we have a whole different version recorded of it. It just didn't feel right. So we went back and we redid the music for it. Which is, I think, one of the best experiences of working with Gabe and just kind of working in the way he works and at Penrose. It's just like we were fortunate enough to have time to do things. It's like we go in there, we record it, we spend days on it. You know, if it doesn't come out great, it's like we go back, it's like something's not right about it. It's like, what can we do? Well, let's redo it. So we just went back. Worked it out. The music is completely different from where we had it the first time around. So we had the liberty to just kind of go back and forth, try new things.
And which one, now the opposite to that question, which one of these came out the easiest? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just you record it in one take and you're like, oh, that was, all right, let's get on to the next song.
Damn, one take.
It happens.
Sometimes.
Which one came out the fastest?
I think, I don't know, weirdly, I want to say Del Cielo.
Really? I want to say that one too.
Yeah. Because we had already been playing that one live, and it's already gone through like different evolutions. But then we finally settled on one, and we all agreed on it. So doing it felt pretty good.
And then to have this as a one out of two Spanish songs in this album, and I think what you were saying in the first album, you had one song in Spanish, but like that's it. And then now you're like exploring a little bit. Now, with these two songs that you have in Spanish, did you write them in Spanish or did you have to translate them into Spanish?
They were written in Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They're
cool.
Definitely written in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially with those two songs, just going back to what we were talking about like the evolution of the kind of the sound. It's like with the first album being kind of indie rock and this one being a little more soul. I think the outliers in this are definitely Del Cielo and Perdóname, as well as Float, where it's like, we consider it a soul, kind of like a soul album, but those songs are so kind of far away from soul and just a little more like in the bolero realm and just like that kind of stuff where it's...
And the psych realm with like Float a little bit, kind of like the rhythm is a little bit hip-hop-ish. It's like we were like kind of pushing it, like we're stretching musically.
Right? Yeah, that's just... Which is the fun thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one thing we took from the first album where you listen to it and it's like there's a lot of different songs on there and there's a lot of different changes. There's like a lot of musical influences. And I think we brought that to this album and then kind of stretched it as much as we could where it's like we're going to go with Daptone, which is like a soul label. We're going to try to push and try to expand as much as we can. So it's not exactly just a soul album. So you can listen to it and be like, oh, yeah, there's different influences in here.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I mean, you both and your band teammates and friends also listen to a whole lot of things. You know, we're not just one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We all have a lot of different tastes.
Yeah.
So it's like it makes for interesting music in the tour van for sure.
That's cool.
Our playlists are all over the place.
Who handles the aux cable more often?
I think we usually take turns. Yeah, driver usually gets the say, and if driver doesn't want to, then person riding shotgun takes over.
And it's not easy with a bunch of music snobs. So it's like you got to choose the right stuff, or you get dragged.
I can't imagine the conversations too. Like, oh, the producer here was like, what was he saying, or what's the sound there?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like it's early in the morning, and somebody decides to put like the D'Angelo song, some sort of really erotic song on. And we're all in the car.
We're like, what the heck?
D'Angelo's not erotic, bro. That's how you hear it.
D'Angelo, no, I meant aside from D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. I love D'Angelo.
That's me. I'm just singing it because of that. But then sometimes at 6 a.m. they play like Slayer. So you never know.
That's it.
Yeah. And everybody's like waking up to like crazy metal.
You gotta wake up everybody.
and we were talking about the Cielo Te Cuido, which you guys performed right now. Can you give me a little backstory on the story for this song and how it came about?
I mean, all the songs, we feel like we were all kind of, we worked through it. Like this album in particular, it's like the way we wrote this one is we would each come with some sort of idea, and then me and Adriana would sit down. Just acoustic guitar, which is completely different than what we did on the first album. Because in the first album, it was like the band would come together, we'd have music, and then we'd write melodies or lyrics over the music. Yeah. And this time around, we both kind of came together and wrote the songs and wrote the melody. And then we went into the studio, and then we kind of...
started adding the music.
Then we added the music to it. So everything, for this album, everything was definitely song-oriented and like melody.
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Like starting us two mostly sitting together and working out the lyrics. And then trying to get it to have a form, like kind of a skeleton, and then going into the studio and starting to add the meat with Caitlin and Brent. That's a good name.
Yeah. Braitlin.
Yeah, Braitlin. Yeah. And then like starting to add that and like working out different ways of how it could work, and like doing that together in the room is like, it's like pretty electric. It was a different way of writing, but
to answer your question, the story is just kind of like, was like listening to all of all the boleros that we grew up listening to, and just kind of listening to the stories, and just like just like the metaphors, and like all the way Spanish music is written is a lot, I feel like it's really beautiful lyrically, and it's like some things that you can say in Spanish that might seem cheesy in English. And then it's like it was fun to explore kind of just like that whole vibe. But yeah, the story kind of it's a person longing for somebody, you know, writing their thoughts out, you know, telling them. It's actually kind of a dark song.
Yeah, because you're like, you're dead already, I guess, right? That's how I take it. Like,
yeah, you're actually the first one to actually get that. But it's somebody kind of talking out loud, and at the end, he's asking God to forgive him because he doesn't want to feel that way anymore.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, then let's hear it in full force. Let's get into the session. Here's the Altons with their Spanish track, Del Cielo Te Cuido, From the Heavens I Take Care of You.
Come on.
The best way to stay up to date with the SoCal Sound is by signing up for our email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. Go to thesocalsound.org and click sign up for the email newsletter at the top of the homepage.
Thanks again. Sounds fantastic. Well, you guys' harmonies are amazing together.
Thank you.
I know you started out singing, but you didn't.
No, I didn't.
It came out of a necessity.
It did, yes.
Did you have to take, from the first time you had to just like sing it because out of a necessity because you couldn't find a singer to now, did you take any lessons from there, or is it just from all the practice that you've done because of the gigging that you've been doing?
I like to think I took lessons from her and from Joe and just like the people that we've been touring around. So I get to see how everybody approaches it, like what they do beforehand. It's like, because I still consider myself just like a guitar player that can kind of sing too.
but you sound fantastic.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, I haven't taken a lesson yet. I should. I know, like, I really want to now. I really want to build more technique to it. But yeah, just having the musicians that I know, like the people that I have around me, just really watching what they do and how they do it, and a lot of YouTube sometimes too.
YouTube University.
That's funny. And you've played with some great, great people. Most notable and that comes to mind is Brenton Wood. Mm-hmm. May he rest in peace. He passed away earlier this year. But did he give you any pointers or maybe just life lessons or advice?
Yeah, I mean, like she had mentioned, he was really about giving back to all of his fans and giving, like, making sure that anybody that came up to him, anybody that, like, even remotely recognized him, he would always give them their full attention. He would always stop and talk to them, take a picture. And that really stuck with me, because it's like, he's like, these are the people that give you what you have. Like, this is the people that gave me what I have. And I just, that's like his way of thanking them. His last show that we did with him, he was really sick. He got real sick, and he had already canceled a couple of shows before, and he just wanted to come out and just like not disappoint anybody.
Wow.
Come out like. They brought him out. We did this whole show at the, what was it? Was it in Long Beach?
Yeah, the arena, I think.
Yeah, there's a Long Beach arena. And where the Altons got to open up too. So that was great.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But he came out and he was just, it's like, it's sad to think about, because like, I was playing guitar and I was looking back at him and you can see that he's got like tears in his eyes, because it's like 10,000, 12,000 people just singing along to his songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because they realize, I'm getting emotional. They realize that kind
it's
of.
Okay. It's okay.
They realize that he couldn't really sing it out loud, and they like helped him.
Oh,
so it's like you could feel it in your chest, like everybody's singing.
And to meet a person like that, I mean, look, you're just getting emotional, mm-hmm. and to play with him and to open up for him.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's like something I'll never forget.
And I'm sure that's impacted you as a band together, because now you got no excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but we definitely learned a lot from him. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot about songwriting, just like melodies, really diving, playing guitar for him and really diving deep into his songs, and just seeing how simple melodies and simple, that there's not a lot of complexity to it. It's just really good melodies and good words behind it. It was like one of my best experiences I've had musically so far.
Nice. Were you able to perform with him, or was it only
It
Brian?
Was like a family thing when they were meeting him, and I was able to like sing along with him.
Oh,
but
cool.
Like, no, it was mostly the boys. The story he told in the beginning was like, when I'm pretty shy and like I was scared to meet him, and I kind of went up and I was just thanking him for being so like humble and like talking to everybody, and he like held my hand really hard. Oh. And he was like, you got to understand that like meeting people is part of the job. He's like, if you're going to do this, you got to love your fans as much as they love you.
Oh.
And he's like, so it doesn't matter who asked me, I'm going to take a picture with them. I'm going to do this. So it was about talking about that lesson where he was just making it like, this is so important. And it's just as important as the music, meeting these people and talking to them. So we definitely try to do that after every show.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well,
Well, let's take a little break. Let's recompose ourselves. It was a very emotional. Yeah, I could feel it.
I just hadn't thought about it, and it bummed me out.
I know. I'm sorry, but let's get into a song to like reconvene, and let's get into the last song. Let's cough into it. Let's get into the last song of this session, which is "Waiting," which is the first song off of this album, right? And it's funny because every time I play this song, I'm like, well, I'm just waiting for this album to come out. So let's get into it. Here's "Waiting" from the Altons. Just heard "Waiting" from the new album "Heartache" in Room 14. It's the first one off the album. What can you tell me about the song? How did it come about, and why is it the first one?
I think it's a good opener. I think "Waiting" is a good opener. It like kind of sets the tone, and then also it's like very, very heavy on the interplay vocally, and it's kind of letting people know that this is what it's going to be, right? Like more duets and more both of us singing and harmonizing together. So I feel like that's why we kind of placed it as the first song. And yeah, that's my explanation.
Yeah, I think "Waiting" was also the second song we wrote in that kind of manner. So we did "Tangled Up" that came out, and then "Float" came out. But the way we wrote it, it was "Tangled Up." We wrote and we recorded, and then we wrote "Waiting" and "Float" right after. But "Waiting" was definitely the second song that we went into. Like after we did "Tangled Up Anew," we're like, Gabe was pretty excited about that. He's like, dude, you guys' voices sound great together. He's like, do you guys think you could do like another song like that? You guys, maybe we can start doing more stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So like, from what I remember is Waiting and then Float too, were the songs where we kind of like dove into trying to write together, write like harmonies that we would sing all the
follow
way through.
Follow each other all the way through. And it's like very, it's cool. Very interesting and like time consuming.
Like a game too.
Yeah, because it's like we have to kind of pay attention to each other and know when we're going to do the right things. And it takes so much rehearsal to get it right. Mm. Right. And the second song, you're right.
Yeah.
After, because really cool. we were like, we must write together. So we're doing it.
We wrote Waiting and then we wrote Float right after, mm-hmm. but Float got recorded first. Yes. And then Waiting, we recorded another session. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
That's really cool. That's really cool to know.
Yeah.
Well, hey, and we're at the end of the session. You played your three songs. But I want to know just real quick, like, what's coming up for the Altons? Is there already new music in the works? Like, just as like songwriting goes, are you constantly songwriting
up here?
Yes. Yeah.
Little notes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Little voice notes on my iPhone. Yeah.
I think at the end of this
tour season.
The tour season, but at the end of this album, when we finished the last sessions last year, we kind of got into this groove of like, damn, I wish we had more time because we're getting into this groove of songwriting and like we're figuring out we started really connecting on how to do the harmonies and how to just exploring different types of like songwriting and stuff. So we really got into it and it was a bummer that it was like, all right, this is the last week of recording. And we actually wrote Your Light the last week of recording.
Oh.
But it was on a time crunch. We had to finish it by a certain day or would not be on the album. Like, no.
Oh,
so we were like changing it and doing it overnight before the last recording session, actually the last one.
Yeah.
And we had to get it right. And like, luckily, I mean, we had already been doing it for so long and we were all locked in that we were able to record it. And we record all together, like all the instruments. So like, it had to be a good take or it wasn't gonna make it. So.
We had a lot of ideas after that and just kind of the groove that we were in. So I think another album is definitely sooner than later.
Oh.
So we have like, we got music. We're still working out voice memos and stuff like that. But this whole process just like really fueled us to be like, oh, this is like,
We hit a stride, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, we just got to go around the whole U.S. first, and then we'll be back.
Yeah.
Just a few bunch of dates.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's not another pandemic before we come back here.
Knock on wood.
We're about to start the Heartache Tour, and we're really excited, and we're going out with our brothers, the Sinceres, and we have really cool openers that we haven't announced yet, and we're really excited. Okay. But we're stoked.
Can we announce them? Are we allowed to?
I think this session will be today. Oh, okay. So then we're going out with charities.
We're going out with the charities for the West Coast. Mm-hmm. They're doing most of the dates with us. The MKs are doing one of the Belasco shows.
There's a new band. You guys should check out. They're really tight.
Yeah. Cool. The guy that helped engineer this, mm-hmm. Anthony Massino, plays in the amazing band called the MKs. Yeah. And they're opening up the Friday show at the Belasco.
Mm-hmm.
And in the East Coast, we're going out with a band called Parlor Greens, which is...
Everyone should know.
Yeah.
Because it's made up of Adam Scone, Jimmy James.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Oh, my God. I should know. What's the last one?
I don't remember his name. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, my God. We're
back. We'll put it in post.
All right,
put it in
post,
yeah.
Yeah.
But they're amazing.
I'll record a vocal over
there. They're amazing. So it's going to be really tight to be out there with them. And then another band named Gitkin that's going to join us.
Cool.
In the Midwest.
Well, I wish you a ton of luck. I hope it all goes smoothly and you all don't kill each other on the road.
We'll try.
But you made it here, though.
Yeah.
We're here so far.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for bearing the weather and coming out here and coming back and talking to me.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you
guys. Full circle right here.
We're back and then we'll be back again for the third album.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We got Adriana and Brian of the Altons. Go grab their vinyl. Available everywhere. There's a black vinyl, and then there's like a...
There's like a more limited edition.
Yeah, there's a white textured one.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get a cool art. You get a cool hotel key. Yep. Catch them on tour, and catch them on your streaming platforms or on your vinyl record. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, one more. Thanks to Caitlin and Chris and what's the keyboard player?
Eliezer
and Joey, if you're watching. Thanks.
Miss you. Joe's in Mexico right
Yes, he's busy.
He's cool. In the motherland.
He's going back to the roots.
Yes. He's going back to the roots. He's got a gig out there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys again. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Byron Gonzalez. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.